the government's $28 billion plan for Auckland transport. It's being described variously as transformational, also as lacking in ambition, and others describe it as a carbon copy of the previous government's plans. This is a 10-year scope which looks at the building of light rail, roads, cycle lanes, and a big upgrade of rail and buses. It's called the Auckland Transport Alignment Project. Let's talk to Matt Lowry, who's the editor of the transport blog Greater Auckland, and to Stephen Selwood, who's the chief executive of Infrastructure New Zealand. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Guy.
Matt, if I could start with you, what is your reaction to what was announced yesterday?
I think it's fantastic. You know, we're finally seeing a transport plan for Auckland that actually will allow people to move around the city. And, you know, this is something that's been needed for decades. And in fact, it goes back as far as the 1960s when the motorways were built. We were told at the time we needed to build the complementary public transport that is of a high quality, like railways and busways and what have you, to make sure that people can still move around. And so we're finally getting to that point now.
Is it really that transformational? And what about the time frame? Because I was interviewing Phil Twyford yesterday, and he said it could be up to 10 years before some of those new projects actually opened.
Yeah, it could be, and there's a lot more projects that will come in the pipe after that. And it's part of a, you know, there's no city that is ever finished. You know, London's still building new rail lines, and every other city around the world is doing the same thing as well. And so there's always going to be something going on. There's always going to be something to build and to help improve our access. But this does make a big step towards moving it, and the fact that it is funded is really important.
When do you reckon it will be, Matt, before Aucklanders would actually notice a difference?
Well, some Aucklanders are already noticing the difference. We're seeing rail and bus and ferry usage rise at very large levels at the moment, up around, you know, particularly some of those rail and busways, up 10 to 20% per year, and it's been going on for a few years. So people are responding to the things that we have built, and now what this does is that amplifies that. It will put more of what is working in and get more people onto public transport, which will help more people move around the city free of congestion.
Okay, let's move to you, Stephen, from Infrastructure New Zealand. Do you think that this plan is ambitious enough?
Oh, look, I think it's the most ambitious plan we've had for a long time, so we've got to give due credit to that. And I agree with Matt that absolutely the investment needs to be made in public transport. But I guess the caution is that it raises people's expectations that congestion is going to be, if not solved, at least substantially addressed, and that's simply not the reality. The shift to public transport will have a very positive effect, but we need to also move on charging as well. That's the real game changer here. It's also the means of raising the revenue to investment in the transport system at large. And unless we do that, all of the analysis that the ATAP program has done has said, look, at best we can hold congestion to where it is today. And certainly most Aucklanders are expecting an improvement, not just holding the status quo.
So you're talking about congestion charging people to drive through specific areas at specific times, and you think that will change behaviour?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we all know that we're at capacity on the motorway network, and we need to be able to utilise that network more effectively, and that's what congestion charging will allow. And it will also encourage people to make decisions about, you know, maybe I can take public transport or go another way or take someone with me in the car, or maybe we can run rapid bus services up the motorway system to share the cost rather than everyone trying to get on the same road at the same time.
Mm. So you've got to make it painful to people to get in their cars to a degree. Well, you've got to put some pricing disincentives in, if you like.
Yes, exactly. And look, that will encourage other decisions to be made. You know, do employers really need everyone there on 9 to 5? Could we be more flexible with the hours that we work? All of those decisions really make a difference. And the combination of investment in public transport, congestion pricing, and greater density of living, particularly beside the public transport corridors, is the three-legged stool that we need.
Interesting.
And at the moment, we've kind of got one leg.
Okay, well, what are your response to that, Matt? I mean, is he right that this might just keep pace with the growth that we're going to see in Auckland. Is it going to have an impact without those kinds of things that Stephen's talking about?
Well, I think there's two things. One is, yes, we do need congestion charging, but at the same time, we actually have to have alternatives in place so that people can avoid that if they want to. So if they still want to travel at 8 a.m. in the morning, that they are able to do so. And that might mean that they have to change their trip, or it might mean that they pay more to travel. And that is what is exactly what this is doing, is it's putting in place some of those, starting and put in place that network that allows people to make those choices and have a viable choice to as an alternative to paying tolls. And one of the negatives we want to avoid is that people think that they're locked in and that's the only option they've got. The only option is to be paying this toll to get around. Mm. And I think the second thing is with that is there's always going to be some element of congestion. Yes, pricing can come in, but there is no city in the world that doesn't have congestion of some form. And so to suggest that we're going to get rid of congestion completely is a misnomer, but what we can do is we can lessen the impact and we can give people alternatives to how they get around so they can avoid it if they want to.
Okay, quick final word from both of you on this idea that James Shaw is considering this morning. This is from the Productivity Commission report, but he said that the government was considering it, at least, and he said that on Morning Report this morning, the idea of putting a tax on imported vehicles, on petrol vehicles, and using that money to subsidise electric cars. Is it going to fly?
Look, it's a very difficult kind of solution when, most New Zealanders are dependent on the mobility provided by second-hand Japanese imports at a relatively low cost. On the other hand, the opportunity to really accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles is positive. I'm never quite convinced that taxes are the best answer. Mm.
Hey, Stephen, you got a view on that?
We need to get more electric vehicles in our vehicle fleet, and that's absolutely, we need that to reduce emissions. We need that. So we need to find ways to encourage that. Whether it should be a new tax on new vehicles, on diesel vehicles, I'm not entirely sure. I think that we need to find other ways to bring as manufacturing improves, we'll bring the cost down of electric vehicles, but we definitely need to find ways to encourage more people to use them, or to buy them and use them if they want to drive.
Thanks very much. Stephen Selwood there, the Chief Executive of Infrastructure New Zealand, and Matt Lowry, who's the editor of the transport blog Greater Auckland.